The music you're hearing is a three-person collaboration. First, Jimmy Giuffre, a pioneering clarinetist and bandleader. The second is Rena Schwartz. It's her high heels you can hear echoing in the lobby of a midtown Manhattan office building over 50 years ago. And the third is her husband, Tony Schwartz, who made the recording. This is just one of over 30,000 Tony Schwartz recordings. He was a man obsessed with hearing and preserving sound until his death in 2008, when we first ran this piece. That he recorded so much is all the more remarkable for the constraints under which he did it. Tony Schwartz.
I'm not able to travel far. I have agoraphobia. And in walking, I could just go around my postal zone in the midst of Manhattan. And the postal zone was New York 19 at that time. That was the area I could travel in.
What he lacked in range, he made up in depth, using a new recording device he built himself in 1945.
I made the first portable tape recorder. I brought the VU meter from inside the case to the top so I could look down at it and see how loud things were. I put a strap on it so I could have it over my shoulder. I could go record children in the park doing jump rope rhymes, and I made 14 records for Folkways Records.
When his recorder was mass-produced, he struck a deal with those who bought it. Send me your sounds, and I'll send you mine. And they did. And when he wasn't dealing strictly in sound, he used his ear to inform his other vocation, TV advertising, much of it political. He's best known for the so-called Daisy ad he made for Lyndon Johnson in the 1964 race against Barry Goldwater, that of a young girl pulling off and counting daisy petals, a sound that dissolved into a man counting down to an atomic blast. And that was all just still a small part of Schwartz's extraordinary legacy as a media theorist, author, record producer, Broadway sound designer, advertising exec, and folklorist. In this piece, the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, reflect back on Schwartz and a life spent listening.
I won't go to Macy's anymore, There's a big fat policeman at the door.
I was interested in the sound around us.
Two things that you're not allowed to carry in taxi cab. One is fish, the other is bedding.
I had a wrist mic. I had a brush lapel mic, and I would put it on a wristwatch band, and I'd pull it out my sleeve. So I would just walk around and record that way. Like when I went into the pawn shop and I did cab drivers, that way I recorded about 700-800 cab drivers.
Do away with your parking lots in Midtown from 14th Street to 59th Street. No parking allowed in the daytime, only after 6 o'clock.
I had recorded the songs on jukeboxes in the restaurants or bars that catered to the various groups around my postal zone. What I would do is get people in the restaurant who spoke English to come over and translate it for me.
The country in which I was born is suffering many back. Economic things. Even though I'll feel terrible there. In my country, there are always flowers. That is my paradise. I won't change Puerto Rico by 60 New Yorks. I won't change Puerto Rican chickens by frozen chickens in the ice boxes here.
This is Max Nichols of Pietermaritzburg, Natal, South Africa, calling Tony Schwartz of New York, USA.
Hello, Tony Schwartz. I'm bringing you greetings from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
This is a Greek folk song from island of Crete.
Hello, Tony. My name is Thomas Knott, and I come from Killarney, County Kerry, Ireland.
When I got my first wire recorder, I asked the company if they would give me the guarantee slips from people from all over the world and all over this country who bought the recorders. who said they were buying them because of their interest in music. And I would exchange wires with people in other countries who were interested in folk music, and they would send me material from their countries.
My name is Tony Schwartz. The music you hear is a Peruvian Indian playing his guitar on a quiet summer evening. This is one of 15,000 recordings I've collected, recordings of folk music and folklore, recordings I've exchanged with people all over the world.
Hello, Tony. I received your letter here the other day. Well, I'm going to send you a wire now. This stuff that I generally do, you know, singing the cowboy stuff. I don't know if you fellas in New York City appreciate this kind of music. We folks around here do this hillbilly stuff.
That's how it started. Recordings came in from all parts of the United States, from all parts of the world. Recordings on wire, recordings on tape. One of my exchanges was with a man who wanted sounds he no longer heard.
Tony, I wonder if you'd do me a favor. I live out in the country, and originally I came from the city, and I kind of miss it. And I was wondering if you would record some sounds of the city and send them out to me. I'd really like to hear it. How about it?
Part of my answer was recorded in Times Square.
What's going right out? Chinatown, Loney, all Greenwich Village and the bar. The Empire State.
A week later, I found this in my mailbox.
Tony, I received your sounds of the city this morning, and I've been playing them ever since. I noticed that you said that you recorded them about 8:30 at night. To sort of reciprocate, here's the sounds of my country, 8:30 at night.
The voices and music of the world came into my apartment in New York City, and I traveled no further than my mailbox.
In people talking, there's an innate musicality in the way certain people speak, and also in the barkers at nightclubs or various places.
Sold for a dollar.
The sound of selling used to be the people, vendors going by in the street, or people singing in the backyard or shouting in the backyard. Now it's over the radio or television. I did a whole record on the sound of selling. Vegetable men shouting, apples, apples, on the street, or that horse and wagon selling vegetables.
My mule is white, my charcoal is black. I sells my charcoal.
There were men who would go around buying old clothes, and they'd yell, I cash clothes, I cash clothes.
Charcoal, charcoal.
I did a radio program on sound once a week on WNYC for over 35 years. I would do it on any subject that came up to me during the week. How'd I come to these ideas? Just from being human and working with sound and knowing how sound affected me and affected other people.
Here lies Tony Cherney. Once a pet turtle of Daryl Cherney, died February 24, 1964.
Who died?
My turtle, Tony. He got a sore shell and he tried to save him by giving him hamburger, but he died, and we're going to bury him.
How do you feel about it?
Not too well. Sort of a tragedy for me. I'm going to play taps, and the flag is because I like him. Just like the President of the United States when he died, except, but he's like in my family. Give me the turtle. Fly.
Come to me, my melancholy baby. Cuddle up and don't be blue.
Can a baby feel blue?
Anybody can feel blue. All your fears are foolish fancies may be.
Well, I was born at the beginning of time. Time magazine started the year I was born. Harry Belafonte was a bop singer when I met him. I got him into the Jamaican songs.
This is another working song. It is the banana loading song. Day-o, day-o, day-da-light, ami-wango.
I met a woman who was a cashier at Macy's, and her name was Louise Bennett, and she knew all the Jamaican folklore. And I played those songs to Harry Belafonte.
Schlaf, mein Kind, schlaf, geside.
Good morning. Today, I'd like to play two beautiful songs sung by Paul Robeson.
I think he was one of the great singers of our time. And in the McCarthy era, Robeson couldn't travel because they called him a communist, which is ridiculous. He wasn't a communist. He just believed in internationalism. The ridiculousness of this McCarthy era, you know, he started the whole thing of loyalty oaths. Most people think of evil as the sounds of gunfire or thunder or lightning or something.
You, as a witness, if you conduct yourself like
I found and believe that the most evil sounds in the world are the sounds out of mouths of people.
How much more of life burden can I bear?
I've used media to shame people into proper behavior. In primitive cultures, if someone did something shameful and word of mouth got around the village in an hour or so, in our culture, the same thing exists. But if you divide the distance of our country into the speed of sound, you find it would take a 64th of a second to reach across the country by telephone, radio, television, or anything like that. My brother built a one-tube radio, which never worked, and I used to go up in the attic and play a spaceship like Jack Armstrong. I was also interested in physics, and the physics teacher was interested in amateur radio, and I first built my own receivers and huge 20-meter antennas, and I built my own little shack where I had 16 by 16, and I had my radio station in the front, my bed in the back, and I ran a telephone line up to the house so my mother could call me in for supper. I made up shortwave listener cards. I speak to them on the radio, and I would tell them how they're coming in. I think the most important thing we can work on in communication is to make the world safer for the people who live in it. People, that's what I was most interested in. People and their life and what they do.
This reflection on Tony Schwartz was produced by Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, the Kitchen Sisters.
That's it for this week's show. On the Medium was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sara Abdurrahman, and Chris Neary, with more help from Amy DePiro and Eliza Novick-Smith, and edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Andrew Dunn.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. Bassist-composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find transcripts at onthemedia.org. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And you can email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. Hey, Brooke, what's this sound?
Are you striking a match?
Lighter. Lit my cigar.
Okay.
What's this one?
Your tearing paper.
Exactly. How about this?
You've just fallen asleep?
Nope. That's the sound between Edited By and Brooke.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Brooke.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.